Hello and welcome to Club Kingsnake Web Radio. Here we are doing another South by Southwest Artist Spotlight, and today we're talking with Chris Martin from the band Kinski. How are you today, Chris?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Kinski's got an interesting sound. It seems to borrow from a lot of different and distinct flavors of music. What do you guys see as the influences in your music?
We've been thinking about that a lot lately because we're in the middle of a new record, and we kind of started in sort of a drone-based, sort of a Spaceman 3 kind of vibe, and all of us kind of came from a more pop background before that, so I think it's kind of been mixing those two things together, and then just over the years, we've all kind of gotten into just heavier, kind of a little bit more stonery kind of rock, so we've sort of just been balancing those things, and now on this new record, we're actually singing again, which we did on our first record, and the last few records haven't had vocals, so I don't know, I think we're all coming from sort of the same place, but I think the drone thing mixed with kind of pop songs and heavy riffs is sort of kind of where we're coming from.
Now, you guys are out of Seattle and you're on the Sub Pop label. Those guys are famous for breaking Nirvana. How's your relationship with Sub Pop been?
It's been great. This is our third record with them, and it took us a little while just to figure out how things worked with that kind of label. But once we all settled in, it's been really good, and they're in Seattle as well. So we see those people a lot just out at shows and stuff. So it's a pretty casual relationship, and they've been really supportive of us. Our contract was up before this record, but now they renewed it, and they've pretty much anything that we've needed, they've helped out with to a reasonable extent.
How do you come up with some of the titles for your music? One I'm interested in specifically is Be Gentle with the Warm Turtle.
I have to do that now, actually. We've got 11 songs without any titles, and we need to come up with those in the next couple weeks. But it's normally just kind of sitting around, and somebody will say something, and that Be Gentle with the Warm Turtle, actually, Matthew, our guitar player's little kid, touched this little hot turtle lamp, and his wife said something about not touching it, and we just kind of reshaped the words that he said around, and, you know, that was that title. It's normally just silly things that people say that normally ends up being a title.
I actually like this song quite a bit that you've got up on the South by Southwest site, The Wives of Artie Shaw.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was like a big band leader. He had 8 wives. He was a super interesting character. He was like one of the biggest stars at the time and kind of gave it all up to do other things. He's a pretty interesting dude.
Your album, Don't Climb On and Take the Holy Water, was completely improvised, correct?
Yeah.
Well, how did that come about?
We had finished our first Sub Pop record, Airs Above Your Station, and our drummer left the band. So we were a trio, and people in Seattle were asking us to do shows. We knew we'd be shut down for a few months trying to find a new drummer, and we just decided that we would take whatever shows were offered, but not call it Kinski. We called it Herzog, and the two guitar players and the bass player, the three of us would just improvise at shows, and we'd kind of been wanting to do that with the band, but we didn't want people to expect a rock Kinski show, and so it was really great for a few months while we were kind of going through that transitional period with Kinski to do these outside shows under the name Herzog and just purely improvise for 45 minutes. And so we had recorded some of those shows and some of the just jamming in the space, and that's how that record came about. And at the last minute, we decided to call it Kinski just to, it came with a little disclaimer on it saying that it's not like a regular Kinski record. So that was a really good experience, and I hope we do that again now that we're finished with our next kind of rock record. I'm hoping we'll do something sort of experimental in the next few months.
You've had a relationship with the band Acid Mother's Temple. You've toured with them. Some of your albums, you split with them. Can you tell us about that relationship?
Yeah, that's been really fun. We met Calabata, who's the main Acid Mother's guy, when he was in the band Mainliner, and Mainliner was himself and this guy Nanjo, who was also in this Japanese band called High Rise. But the first Kinski tour was with Mainliner down the West Coast, and so we just kind of hit it off with Calabata, and then as Acid Mothers came to the States, we did a few tours with them, and we just all have a really good time hanging out. He even toured with as a Kinski guitarist for a tour a few years ago, and they brought us to Japan once, and so it's been really fun, and I think we've learned a lot from their aesthetic and their work ethic, and And yeah, it's been a good, really good relationship.
Do you prefer touring or do you prefer recording?
I prefer recording, but I like doing both. Our band sort of has pretty tight schedule, so we're not able to tour as much as I'd like, but
maybe I should have asked you, like, playing live versus recording, as opposed to touring, because touring invokes getting everything together in a van and driving across country.
Yeah, that kind of loses its flavor after a few of them, but yeah, I think we all love playing live. I think the band's actually more into playing live than recording, and I'm maybe a little bit vice versa, but we always try to make the live shows a different thing than the records. The records always have a couple songs that we would never be able to play live, either just because of overdubs or just because of our lack of playing abilities. So we always try to make the live shows, you know, just sort of the solid rock force and more have the records kind of flow in and out of things.
Your albums, are they primarily recorded in an old-fashioned recording studio, or do you guys have a studio in your home? Or
we have a little setup in our rehearsal studio, but normally it's kind of traditional the way we record most of our records. This last one we went into a studio and did it on 2-inch tape and Pro Tools, and yeah, it's pretty much a traditional studio recording for most of our records.
This year you're coming to South by Southwest, but this isn't the first time you've been here, is it?
No, somebody was asking me that. I think it's the fourth. Once we went on our own, and then twice has been through Sub Pop shows. Yeah, it's always been a great time. We haven't been to Austin for a couple years now, so we're all really excited.
Is South by just a single-only show, or are you guys going on an official tour at that point?
No, since we're between records, we're not really touring, so we're coming down for the Sub Pop show and on Wednesday, the 14th, I believe, and then we're playing a party for Ballard, which is a little area here in Seattle that's having a party on Friday, so we're just doing those two shows.
Looks like they've got you playing after Oxford Collapse and Tiny Vipers and Maps and Aliases. Have you ever played with any of those guys before?
Just Tiny Vipers. She's Jessie, the woman that leads that band, is from here, and we play with her once and see her around town. But no, I haven't even seen any of the other bands. It's all kind of newer Sub Pop bands besides ourselves, so it should be interesting.
What was it like to tour in Japan?
It's amazing to tour in Japan. We've been there 3 times now, once with Acid Mothers and twice with Mono, who've released a few of our records over there on their label. Yeah, for a band, it's the best because the clubs are great, and the sounds, even small clubs, the sound systems are amazing, and the light setups are amazing, and it's really easy, and there's always gear at the clubs, and it's really set up for the bands to enjoy it as much as the audience. You play, and you're done by 10, and then you go have dinner with everybody, and it's a really great experience.
How's the internet impacted your music on different levels?
Yeah, that's how the whole Japan things have originally come about. That's how we originally met. Mainliner was online. I mean, we met email, you know, that's kind of changed. I mean, that's our band, it kind of exists from that, because we've been able to do a lot of things just making connections with like-minded bands around the world, so that's been amazing.
When you guys started the band, it was formed in 1998 when Dave Weeks overheard a conversation between you and Lucy about analog recording. What were you guys talking about?
Oh, Lucy and I were slowly piecing something together. We didn't even know if it would be a band, and we were just trying to figure out what would the best way to be to record some of the things we were working on and jamming on, and just whether we should get a hard disk recorder or an 8-track reel-to-reel. And so we were talking about that, and Dave was a bartender and just overheard that. So, and we weren't even really looking for a drummer particularly at that point, but we just all kind of hit it off. And yeah, it was kind of really slowly the band came together because of that, and we actually rehearsed for almost a year before we even played out, so it was a really nice slow kind of ease into it. We didn't really expect anything from it. Yeah, it was really a good time period for the band.
You mentioned before that you guys all came from a more poppy music background. Being in Seattle, just how poppy could that be? I mean, you guys had some really good hard rocking bands come out of that scene.
Yeah, that was a weird time, the whole grunge thing. There always was some pop bands. Like, one of my favorites was a band called Flop. They were on a major for a while, but they didn't do very well, and hardly anyone's heard of them, but they were probably my favorite band from Seattle at that time. I mean, there was a lot of bad grunge bands as well as good ones at the time, because people were just pouring in here, moving here to start bands. It was kind of a weird time to be into pop music. It would have been better to be doing Kinski stuff back then than the pop stuff. But
I know I was listening to bands back, I've had Nirvana's first releases and the Screaming Trees and Soundgarden. So I've been listening to the Seattle sound for a long time.
Yeah.
Is that really the kind of sound that defined Seattle at the period, or
once that scene exploded, you know, most of those bands hardly ever even played in Seattle. There was just a lot of copycat bands, so there was a lot of really bad bands just playing at the small clubs trying to be the next Soundgarden or whatever. Yeah, it was a weird couple of years. The scene's way more diverse now. There's all kinds of, you know, from, you know, alt country stuff to light pop stuff to heavy rock now in town, that and people doing, you know, good work. So I think it's way healthier scene musically now.
Do you have a favorite venue that you like to play in Seattle?
Yeah, there's this place called the Crocodile Cafe that's been around, you know, for 15 years, I think, that's sort of where we've played the most, and everybody's just super cool, so we always play there, or we move to play there quite a bit.
Well, Chris, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. We'll see you all at South by Southwest. Make sure to stop by and see Kinski. They'll be playing Wednesday, March 14th, 12:45 a.m. at Emoj's 4 Lounge at 601 Red River. Once again, Chris, I want to thank you for being our guest here today. This is Jeff Berenger reporting for Club Kingsnake.